Military medicine has undergone a quiet revolution in the past 20 years. Survival rates from battle wounds have reached historic highs. Badly injured soldiers and airmen and sailors, Marines, have the potential to return to productive civilian life much more. Retired Vice Admiral Michael Cowan is the 34th Surgeon General of the Navy and now Executive Director of a federal medical society known as AMSUS. He joins me now with more on the holistic approach to military medicine that's made these advances possible. Admiral Cowan, great to have you on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. So describe this quiet revolution in military medicine. What are the components of it? What does it look like?
I would sum it up by saying in 1970, at the end of the Vietnam War, we took responsibility for taking care of the conditions. We did well. We took good care of injuries and illness, but medicine didn't assume the responsibility for the total person. So we would have a wounded, an amputee. We would take care of the amputation and then send that person out essentially to fend for himself. We'd board him out of the service, send him to the VA. We don't do that anymore. We've learned to take care of the family. And we are not done with our medical treatment until the family is healed and has achieved what I like to call a new normal. It's returned to active duty, as many badly wounded soldiers do, or to a different life, but being a productive, happy family. The other thing you mentioned is the high survival rates. Everybody, I think, kind of knows that. We've changed the technology. We've changed the way we go about treating and medically evacuating people, and achieved enormously, almost unbelievable survival rates. But wouldn't it be cruel if we were only returning people's life to have a low quality of life? So I think the real revolution is the new normal of our badly injured soldiers who go back to a meaningful and happy life.
So it sounds like a psychological component has been added to this, and maybe a training and education component along with the sheer medicine.
Exactly right. And multiple agencies and organizations are required to do that. The federal, the military health system, the Veterans Administration, there are armies of researchers and scientists working, for example, on increasingly sophisticated prosthetics. There are family support organizations like Wounded Warrior that provide an environment that allows people to go through this horrible trauma to get back to an existence that all of us recognize as something that's positive.
And have these changes come about by something internal, revelations happening within the military and VA health complex, or did they come in from outside, people saying, look, this is something you need to do?
This has been a slow evolution of a basic change in how we think about disease and injury, and then a process of creating not only new innovations and new technologies, but new ways of thinking about things. The post-Cold War health system that the military had was designed to keep people on the battlefield. And we had big hospitals that covered acres and acres. We changed that completely so that we now have small surgical units well out in the front lines, so the surgeons get to people quicker, do more definitive things. So it's a complete change of philosophy, almost upside down.
And probably something that you alluded to earlier, and that is families, to a greater degree, maybe in the last 10 or 15 years, people going to war, both male and female, are likely to have spouses, significant others, children even. And that's brought that element in that maybe wasn't so much as prevalent in Vietnam in earlier conflicts.
Absolutely. And we realized that we don't just send a soldier to war. We send a family. And frankly, one of the most gratifying things that I have ever seen is to watch a returning wounded soldier, sailor, or airman, marine, wake up in Walter Reed, and the first face that he sees or she sees is a spouse or a mom.
We're speaking with Vice Admiral Michael Cowan, retired, the 34th Surgeon General of the Navy and Executive Director of AMPSIS. And I wanted to ask you about AMPSIS. That's another organization I confess I hadn't learned about until just in arranging this interview. It's a federally focused medical organization. Tell us more about it and who's in it.
Right. AMPSIS, the acronym, is the Association of Military Surgeons of the United States. We are actually the Society of Federal Health Professionals. So we have health professionals from Army, Navy, Air Force, Public Health Service, and the Veterans Administration predominantly. One of the things that we do is an annual continuing education meeting, which we are holding in San Antonio, 1 through 4 December at the Gonzales Convention Center. And it's coming up on us very quickly. We're very much looking forward to it. Not only will we have United States attendees, but we have military from 30 countries around the world showing up for our meeting.
And so it sounds like a great place to exchange the latest in medical thinking, say even from the civilian sector that is federal and going over into the military side and perhaps vice versa.
It is. And I think the key to the sort of interoperability that we see that's necessary to carry the wounded soldier that we were just talking about through this process is born in meetings like AMPSIS. It's very difficult to work with people you just don't know whose culture and backgrounds you have not shared. So I think it's not only just the medical information, but the fact that all of these agencies, all of these leaders get together and get to know each other.
And there have been a couple of major reports from think tanks lately looking at Veterans Affairs Department and its future. And one of the proposals, which, again, that would get it into politics, and we don't know how it would actually fare in Congress, though, is to retain the VA for the acute care that veterans need related to war injuries. And as they move through their lives, other parts of their care that are just routine could be provided by the private sector so that the VA could do what it does best and the private sector do what it could do best. Again, a theory. Do you think that there is some way to migrate what the Veterans Affairs Department and similar and other institutions that treat purely military people in their aftermath, their knowledge could migrate out into the private sector so that if a ordinary medical practice encountered a veteran, they would know more about that person and what they might have been through?
I know that Congress is taking an intense look at the Veterans Administration, and I know the many colleagues that I have in the VA who are working around the clock as hard as they can to identify and solve the issues they have. And you're exactly right that the key to health care is a continuum of care. We work on that every day. And I think the successes that we've had have reflected the success that we have today. And nobody, including me, would tell you that we've reached the end of the journey or that we are as good as we could possibly be.
Retired Vice Admiral Michael Cowan is the 34th Surgeon General of the Navy and Executive Director of AMPSIS. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.